68 degrees.
Hey, honey, this paint party is a great idea.
Yeah. Hey, how about a coffee break?
Your coffee? Better wait till they finish, hon. We don't want to lose them now.
I brought the sandwiches. Good.
Oh, I see. Everything's going just great.
Everything but my coffee.
Mrs. Olson, how do you make good coffee?
There are no shortcuts, so I use Folgers.
Why?
Different coffees taste different, and I think Folgers taste best.
Really?
It's specially blended.
Folgers? I thought I'd tried everything. That's mountain grown.
Oh, the richest coffee there is. Try some.
Okay.
Hey, smells good. Your coffee?
Yep. How's it taste?
Great. Hey, everybody! Coffee break!
Get Folgers, mountain-grown coffee. You'll like the flavor.
And you'll like this show even more. It is mid-morning coffee break with me, Adam. Adam Lept, Adam the computer guy. I have multiple monikers to muster, but that's okay. Last hour we had a show which has been on this station for about the last year and a half. It's called the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Show, where we talk about topics from the world of IT and information technology, smartphones that aren't quite so smart, printers that are only printing gibberish, servers that are serving you headaches only, and maybe the latest and greatest in medical technology, business news. We talked about some goings-on over at Uber and Lyft. And, of course, like any show here on The Talking Place, WWGH, there's always a surprise or two. Always loved Mrs. Olson and her fine Folgers coffee commercials. Later this hour, hopefully, when he finishes some of his attending to customers, which he is attending to, my longtime colleague and friend, brother in broadcasting of sorts, Mr. Nick C.J., will be joining us, and we'll be discussing his recent attending of a Elton John concert and having backstage passes, as well as some of the political rumblings in the UK, the British election, Brexit, again, Great Britain's vote to no longer be part of the European Union, and of course a few other things, so do stay tuned. Current time at the studio, exactly 15 minutes after 10. A quarter after 10. And it's summer once again. Nice warm day outside, like it was yesterday. Maybe some rain later today. We do need it. Of course, we had some flooding in Marion several days ago, but since then it's been rather dry. So some raindrops will certainly be welcome. I'm broadcasting a live video. If you're not already a friend of mine, please become one. Look up Adam Lep in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy. Also, the video is available through our Facebook page for the radio station WWGH 107.1. Of course, become a fan and a follower if you're not one already. Love to hear from you. We can talk any topic that you like. Even controversial topics are fine. Religion, politics, sports, equal rights, political correct versus not politically correct, topics of discussion, current events of any kind, national or international, or of course, pick a topic. Maybe something I or a guest have talked about on previous shows that you didn't agree with, or you had some additional insight, your opinions, and again, insider, and your own perspective are very welcome. So pick up the phone and call me, 740-383-9944. One thing we often do on this show is look at some quirky or unusual news stories. And let's go ahead and take a look at something which happened in Birmingham, Alabama, a few days ago. A police sergeant in Birmingham, Alabama, has a beef with fast food chain Arby's after he reportedly found a bolt in his sandwich. Sergeant Patrick Cosby said he was eating a roast beef sandwich at his desk on Thursday when he noticed that something was wrong. He said, "I took the first bite into the sandwich. I mashed down and something was very hard. I pulled back and spit it out and looked into the sandwich. And there was a massive bolt lying there. I'm kind of in shock." Again, this happened to Police Sergeant Patrick Cosby in Birmingham, Alabama. His first thought was that the additional ingredient might be intentional because the Arby's drive-in attendant recognized him as a law enforcement officer. The sergeant took pictures of the adulterated sandwich and sent them to his wife, Angela, who posted a picture on, of course, the usual picture posting place, Facebook. Cosby then went back to Arby's to beef, so to speak, about the additional ingredient, a bolt, in his roast beef sandwich. The Arby's manager gave him his money back and promised to investigate. The police sergeant said a regional manager told him a couple days later that the bolt came from a malfunctioning meat cutter. An Arby's representative insisted that no one was targeted, according to a local TV station, WTVM. WTVM! Just had to say that. Arby's Senior Vice President Christopher Fuller said, "We have a long-standing tradition of supporting our men and women in uniform, and we are currently working with this guest to resolve the matter." The local health department visited the Arby's following the incident. Officials told the police sergeant, again, he found a bolt in his roast beef sandwich. They told him that the bolt came from a faulty cutter, a problem that had occurred at the restaurant in the past. The police sergeant said, "I don't know how you make a sandwich with a bolt that large in it and not be intentional. I can't wrap my head around that." So, thankfully, nobody was hurt, and they are investigating. I think it might have been put there intentionally by a worker, since this happened in the past. Not quite sure, but again, they are investigating. Adam Lepp here with the temporary show that's on every Tuesday between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11. It's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. It's a little different from the show that's on Tuesday and Thursday between about 9:13 and 10 a.m. called the Adam the Computer Guy Show, where we talk mostly about computer topics. On this show, we talk about anything. So I'd love to hear from you. Don't be shy. I don't bite. Give me a call in the studio, 740-383-9944. We will be speaking with my longtime colleague and frequent show co-host and commentator, Nick C.J., a little bit later in the hour. He had some backstage passes when he saw Elton John in concert, also the British political election, and a few other things will be topics of discussion. Still time to chime in, 740-383-9944. Let's go to Austin, Texas, the capital of Texas. Two self-proclaimed vampires in Austin, Texas are bloody perfect for each other. They say they have found true love thanks to a passionate relationship built on sucking each other's blood. Countess Leah and Count Tim Van Dorn, who probably aren't royalty, but that's their names, they met 2 years ago at a vampire festival and felt what Tim described as an instant, quote, connection of darkness. Now that quickly turned into a romance that alternately really bites and really sucks in a good way, according to Leah, who's a 20-year-old fetish model. She said, "We are kind of like sharks once we get going. I feel this rush of life. Their essence and their energy is coming into me. It is a sexual experience, and we often draw blood in the bedroom. Vampires are highly sexualized creatures, and having sex literally gets the blood pumping." Although the couple has matching acrylic fangs strong enough to draw blood, they prefer to use razor blades or syringes. Tim is a 31-year-old tarot card reader. He says the experience is as satisfying as sex. He said, "When I feed via blood, it is just as good as sex, because as I feel this rush of life, their essence, their energy is coming into myself, and I am taking it in, and I feel empowered. I feel the person I'm feeding from on a whole different level and in a totally different way than I could with words." Leah said, "I actually prefer drinking blood to having sex. You are taking the essence of a person, and that to me is ecstasy. There is no better feeling." So, whatever turned you on, a vampire couple in Austin, Texas, with some interesting methods of showing their love for each other. Adam Lepp here, showing the love on the airwaves on The Talking Place, WWGH. Good morning, you're on the air. Good morning, you're on mid-morning coffee break with Adam. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Adam.
Oh, how are you today, Nick?
I'm very good, thank you. Sorry. I'm just sharing the love with you this morning.
Well, that's good to hear. Interestingly enough, we had a phone call, but then I heard you, and you were actually on my iMac that I bring in, even though the knob that I turned up was the one for the phone. But that's how it works sometimes. You have to stay on your toes in the broadcasting business, but whatever the situation is, I managed to get my guests on the air at the appropriate in the appropriate way. So I guess you heard about that vampire couple that I was talking about.
I just caught the end of it. Yeah, I've seen it in various magazines. Strange, isn't it? Yes. Each to his own.
Yes, it's from the whatever turns you on department, but it's okay. They seem to enjoy it. I think it's a little unusual. I wouldn't personally partake, but they like it, and that's good enough for me. They obviously care about each other, and that's what's most important.
Apparently, Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton, they used to have a file of each other's blood around each other's necks when they were an item.
And you've been married, Nick, to your lovely wife, Belinda, for like 42 years, right? You were actually quite young when you got married.
43, yeah. Never ever swapped blood or been a vampire once.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
The first time for everything, I suppose, but not been tempted yet.
Well, I guess I'm very glad to hear that. Current time here in the United States of America, Eastern Daylight is about 26 minutes after 10. It's, if I'm not mistaken, 26 minutes after 3 in the p.m. in Western Europe, in the U.K. where you are, Nick.
It is.
And let's see here. A couple topics to discuss. Let's go to the, I guess, more entertaining, the more positive one. You recently had backstage passes to see Sir Elton John. Didn't really meet the guy, but he kind of walked past you when you were backstage. Did he sing a lot of his older? I liked his 70s songs, Someone Saved My Life Tonight, one of my favorites. Some of the louder songs, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. I like Island Girl. An incredible talent, Nick. I know you. We mourn the loss of the great David Bowie, one of your personal favorites, one of your fellow British people, of course. Are you a big Elton John fan like I am, or what's your take on the guy and his talent versus some of the other great British musicians?
I've always liked him, but not, quotation marks, loved his music. So it's I must confess that we got to halfway through and I was up and dancing. So, yeah, it did get me.
So he did sing a lot of his 70s piano songs and some of the newer stuff. Did he mix it up, or what kind of a set mix did he have?
Yeah, not very much new stuff. All the old stuff, all the Saturday Nights and all of that. I mean, it's like a sort of a rocking evening, you know, and he spends most of it doing that classic sort of slightly Jerry Lee Lewis, you know, dance, jumping up and down while playing.
He's like 70 years old, but he still likes to put his dancing shoes on then. He's a very young 70.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. Although he was very ill. I mean, this tour that we went to see is his rerun of the tour that he had to stop because he was very ill. And talking to our relative, who's the one who got us the backstage passes and the VIP tickets and things, he was saying that he was very, very ill. Apparently, he was on his flight home from somewhere in South America, I think he said, and he got taken ill, and he was in hospital that night, and the doctor said, if you hadn't got here, you know, tonight, you wouldn't be with us.
Well, thankfully, Elton John is okay. I mean, we've lost enough talented musicians over the last couple of years. The very thought of Elton John not being here to entertain people, I couldn't even think about it. I mean, the kind of influence that he's had on so many different artists, and not just as a singer, but a songwriter and piano player. The whole idea, I think, of playing the rock piano, Elton John was certainly one of the pioneers.
Oh, definitely. The other thing he did was a big tribute to George Michael. And he had a big picture of George Michael and then sort of stars around it, and then did Candle in the Wind for him. So that was a very emotional time.
Definitely someone we lost at a very young age recently. Definitely a very nice gesture. Of course, they did do that duet of Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, and just did it so well that I think they sounded really good together.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, we talked about this briefly last hour, you did have backstage passes, but didn't really schmooze with Elton John. You kind of saw him walk by, but that was about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's it depends where he is. Apparently, a lot of the time he just has a helicopter standing by, especially if he's in the UK, and he just jumps in that and goes. So he just does it and goes home to the kids, I suppose.
Yeah, he has a kid named, I guess, Levon is one of his kid, I guess, has multiple names, but Levon, which of course is one of his favorite famous songs from his early part of his career, is part of the child's name.
Oh, right.
Yeah, with his husband David, who I believe is like a film producer. He's also in show business of some kind.
You know more about him than me. I can tell you're a fan.
Yes, or I have nothing else to do with my time but look at celebrity gossip. Probably a combination of the two. You said, Nick, about 5 years ago you also had backstage passes, and at that time you actually did meet Elton John. What was he like?
Very quiet, really. You imagine him to be very flamboyant and sort of over the top, but that is his stage persona. So it's not something that he carries around off stage.
But he was very nice, though. I mean, you shook hands and he was cool, just kind of quiet.
Yep, quiet, just very easygoing, got introduced and that was it. And then he was off in his helicopter. It's the best thing that we did get to see, and I can't remember his guitarist's name. If I'd thought about this, I'd have bought the book out that we had from there, and the set we got given, his set list, the one that they have on the stage, you know. But I'd have bought that out, and then I could have told you all the songs, but I forgot. So we'll do that next week.
But he did a lot of his 70s stuff, the songs that I like.
Yeah, all of those. But we got to see his guitarist's guitar box, which is astonishing. It's a sort of one of these wheelie boxes, you know, that are sort of aircraft protected and all of that with the foam in. And probably 20 different guitars in there, including ones with double necks and all of that sort of thing. And he probably changed guitar twice in each song.
So Elton John sits at his piano, obviously. I assume it's like a grand piano.
Yeah.
Sings and plays, but he has a very good backing band.
Oh, exceptional backing band. The lead guitarist and his drummer have been with him from more or less day one. I mean, his drummer is it looks 70.
Yeah, whereas admirable. Yeah, Elton John's been around since the early 70s, and he really hasn't taken a break from superstardom. He's always been around, and He was at his peak, I would say, in the mid to late 70s, but he's still rocking.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he had the whole audience were up from sort of song two. He didn't get me up until about halfway through, but and he probably did. He did 2-hour set, which is a long set straight through. No fillers.
No break at all.
No, straight through 2 hours.
I couldn't perform for 2 hours without going to the bathroom. I mean, that's pretty admirable.
No, it was just astonishing.
You are tuned to Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and my frequent commentator, often a co-host, Nick CJ from Eastern Wales is joining me. We're currently discussing his recent attendance at an Elton John concert where he had backstage passes. Didn't really get a chance to meet Elton. He did see him walk by, but does concur that he sounds great at the approximate age of 70, despite some medical issues, and was performing many of his great songs from the 70s, playing piano and singing for 2 hours straight without even a bathroom break, which I think is pretty admirable.
Astonishing, Adam.
Nick, was there an opening act? Was Elton John the only performer? Anybody else taking the stage?
We got a new little guy apparently he always opens with people who are on his label. So this guy was called Joshua Isaac, and he was a real sort of rocking little singer-songwriter. He did a ballad as well, though, that was nice. It was very good. He was very good, actually.
Yeah, I've not heard of him, but I'm sure anybody opening for Elton John would not be a slouch by any means.
No, and I mean they're all vetted. I don't think they get on his label if they're not up there with the rest.
Looks like people arriving in helicopters, at least important people. That's common there. We talked about Camilla visiting the Hay Festival last week, coming in a helicopter. Is that happened that celebrities they come in a helicopter and then they leave in a helicopter? Is that how they do things over there?
Yeah, I mean we're a lot smaller. Don't forget. So I mean the whole of our country is only like one of your states. So they're probably only traveling 100, 150 miles max, and they can be home. So apparently, according to our relative, Elton likes to be home for the kids, and he can do that in half an hour if he has a helicopter waiting.
Well, that's interesting. Certainly differences in culture as we cross the globe. Many things are the same. I mean, people still are addicted to Facebook and their phones. We talked about that last hour, but methods of travel and culture, those certainly are a bit different. I guess a more serious topic, Nick, would be the recent election, which didn't go the way that you were hoping. Why don't you share with our listeners what happened during the election and some of the possible repercussions?
Yeah, it didn't go the way anybody was expecting. We have a conservative government. We have a conservative government that until 18 months ago was led by David Cameron, who just literally dropped out and Theresa May replaced him. She's about to negotiate Brexit, which is us leaving the European Union, and she wanted to, I suppose the only description is to feel wanted. She wanted to feel that, being as she had just taken over from somebody else and filled a gap, she actually wanted to be voted in. So she called an election. And unfortunately, it didn't go the way she wanted. She did get a majority. We don't work like your college system, but she did get something like 320 seats to 265 or something like that. And the other two parties got very few, like 10 seats each. So she has a majority, but you have to have a very big majority here to be classed as just straight in power. So there's a question mark over that, and she needs the extra seats, of which she's now hooked up with the Democratic Unionist Party, who are the opposing party to the IRA in Ireland. And they have, I think, 15 seats. Most of these figures are off the top of my head, but I think they have 15 seats, which gives her majority then. But they don't have anybody in Parliament, which means that they're the ideal choice for her because nobody can vote against the things that she's trying to put through. So basically, it's a, they become like a proxy vote for her. So that will be good. The chap that lost, Jeremy Corbyn, is still convinced he can have a bash at it, as and people keep trying to explain. There are a lot of jokes on the internet. I'll send some over to you, Adam, where they're trying to explain to him that if you have 265 votes and the other person has 320, you've lost. But he still seems to think that perhaps Theresa May will drop out. But I don't see that happening at all.
So party alignment, that happens everywhere, not just here. A little different the way the party system functions in the UK, but in the end, it's almost the same as it is here.
Yeah, apart from you have that college system thing where somebody can, I believe, in essence, have less votes, but still win.
Right, the Donald had 3 million less votes than, I call her the Hill, but won because of the structure of the Electoral College. Hillary won California and New York resoundingly. Those are two populous states, but in the end, Donald won due to electoral votes. So there are some differences, but we have 50 states plus Puerto Rico, and you have, you know, 4 or 5 parts of the UK. So there are certainly our differences there.
Yeah, but all of our 4 parts are counted as one when we have a general election. So it is just one big vote. Everybody votes. They're voting for their local MP who will have a party behind him. And then those seats are then added up. So if my local area, I voted in a Conservative, and the local area next door voted in a Labour, we would have one seat each. So the Labour leader would have one seat and the Conservative leader would have one seat. So it's not physically on per head. It's on the amount of seats that are won for each person.
I think we brought this up earlier, Nick. The difference between the Labour and the Conservative parties isn't as much of a difference as there is here between Democrat and Republican, or there are some differences there, I guess. I mean, there are similarities, and many issues also really aren't party-based. They can kind of go either way.
Well, Donald Trump would be our Conservative, and Obama would be your Labour. But Obama had a little more flair than our Labour would have. There's a bit more mid-ground, I would say, on the equivalent of your Labour. Our Labour is very union-led and, very into the working classes, and seen as downtrodden and trying to fight capitalism. So it's slightly more historical here.
So a lot of the almost socialist issues, those are some, are they somewhat aligned with the Labour Party? Would Bernie Sanders be too liberal to be a Labour Party person, or is he about right since he's considered a moderate socialist?
No, I'd call Bernie Sanders a socialist, yeah.
So he certainly is to the left of the Labour Party, but you're saying Obama and possibly both Clintons, both Hillary and Bill Clinton, would be more like what a Labour Party member would be in your area?
Yes.
How does Donald Trump and his philosophies match up with the Conservatives? We've talked about he's not very popular there. And in many ways, he's kind of an independent. He's not aligned with a lot of the Republicans in this country. And he's not necessarily conservative on all issues. He's just kind of different because he's not someone who has a political career. It's his first elected office. But how would some of his issues align with your Conservative Party?
Well, he's definitely a capitalist and he's for business. That's about as far as it goes, really. I think he probably aligned, in my eyes, he'd align better with Martians, but we're not doing that election. So, yeah, right. I can still, as you know, not understand how he ever was elected.
So from a business standpoint, then, he certainly is a capitalist and in favor of free enterprise, and that's a good thing. It's just some of the other stuff where he certainly is lacking. He's a bit uncouth, to put it mildly. Some of his picks for his cabinet have been questionable, And, you know, I like the fact that he says what's on his mind, but sometimes he needs to watch what he says. Because as a president, you're held to a very high standard.
Most definitely, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's and all of the talk of impeachment and everything else, I mean, it just seems astonishing, really, that that anybody can, you know, can be in power when they're that under so much investigation, etc.
Now, in our country, of course, we have the Congress, the House, and the Senate. And if I'm not mistaken, Parliament has the House of Lords and the House of Commons.
Yeah.
Do they have the influence that our Congress does here, or does the Prime Minister have a little more power? How does that balance differ from what your observation is here in the States?
I'm not sure how your Congress and things work at all. Ours works on the House of Commons, which is obviously meant to be for the commoners. Those are those MPs that were voted for, the MPs that were voted for that got the people in. So the person that got in, the Conservative leader that got in, Theresa May, she will have one side of the House. The other side will be held by Labour and anybody else from the other parties that's got a seat. And basically then they can barrack and complain about anything that they put forward as a proposal. Once that's then established and something goes forward, so let's say they want to legislate on the internet and make the internet policed or something like that, that will be to and fro in the House of Commons, and then that will then be passed on to the House of Lords for them to approve. And the House of Lords are all elected. They're all how can I say not elected? They're all peers. So they're all peers of the realm. So they are not necessarily royalty, but they have a title which has been given to them, like a baron or a lord or an ancient title.
So some similarities, but certainly some differences. I would say it's more traditional over there. Plus, you have the royal family.
Yeah. Okay,
another one of my dumb questions, Nick. You talked about how the Queen is the head of the church.
Yeah.
What influence does she have on laws and on things like Brexit? Is it ceremonial, or does she really have a big say in government and the way things are decided?
Everything has to be put to her, so I don't think she's ever said no at the moment. But everything is put to the Queen. There are statements made. There is an audience. I mean, you can't be re-elected as a Prime Minister until you've gone in front of the Queen and the Queen has approved you. So we still have a lot of sort of pomp and circumstance and ceremony, but also stuff that we don't see, but that has to be done. So, I mean, when a Prime Minister is elected, they are then driven to the palace and they have to meet with the Queen and say, I would like to make a parliament. Is that okay? And she has to say yes.
So she does have quite a bit of power and say. A lot of it she will approve. I wouldn't call it rubber stamping, but she doesn't often contest a decision, but she does have to be on top of it and essentially offer her signature, her blessing to what's being done.
Yeah, I think, yes. And I think that's what gives you that the feeling that everything is being slightly monitored, even if it's only, as you say, rubber stamping. It's just a feeling that, you know, the Donald seems to be able to, his rubber stamps fail, don't they? Because I've heard several things where he said, we're going to do this. And then 2 minutes later, somebody says, no, you're not. And that thing gets passed on. So, yes, I mean, you know, people here say, we're going to do this, and then it goes in front of the Queen, and then if it wasn't passed, we'd probably never hear about it in the first place.
So, certainly some differences and some similarities. We don't have the royal family here, but the Queen does have an important role, and it's just an interesting study in culture for sure. Nick C.J. is my guest today, a frequent commentator and co-host of sorts of this show, which is called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, starring yours truly, Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy. But on this show, we talk about anything and everything. We do take your telephone calls. If you have questions about British culture or the government, Nick's the right person to ask. You can give us a call in the studio. He'll happily answer your questions, 740-383-9944. Or pick a topic. Any topic is fine, even controversial ones. Nick, the Brexit, which has been a big topic of conversation, the UK's leaving of the European Union. Now, apparently this election is going to have a big influence on that.
Yes, yeah, well, it's only because of we've got such a short time scale. It's got to be completed in 2 years from when we triggered Article 50, which was a month or so ago. And, of course, we've had the election, which has slowed everything up. And there is a lot of paperwork to be done. I mean, if you can imagine the fact that we've been European for so long, that all of our laws, everything suddenly was coming from Europe. So it's like, you know, America becoming joining with the Philippines, and suddenly, you know, you've suddenly got to drop all of the laws that bind you to the Philippines. It's just unbelievable. And we've got laws in there that help with import, export, import to France, export to France, import from Belgium, export to Belgium. So it's 27/28, I'm not 100% sure, nations. And they've all got various terms and conditions and tariffs, import and export tariffs as to how much we're allowed to import into each country. And all of those are going to be changed back from European laws into UK laws.
Is there a risk that the Brexit will not take place, or is it just going to be changed in terms of a course of events?
I think it will take place, definitely. It's got to take place because we've triggered Article 50. Whether or not it will become a shambles, that's another question. And I think it could quite well become quite a shambles towards the end, where laws don't necessarily exist.
Any more thoughts on the election, Nick, and some of the maybe things that have happened that'll have effect on other countries, even the USA, due to the election outcome?
The election outcome has only really caused us, it's caused a little bit of embarrassment for Theresa May, the Conservative leader, because she wanted a majority, and she wanted a big majority to show, you know, I'm here and I'm in charge. The long term, I think, is what we have to wait and see, because we really don't know. I think we've got to see how things fold. It'll be a month before I can give you anything definitive on whether things are working and what life's like in the UK.
Okay, we'll certainly check back with you at that time. Just like here in the United States, you blink and something's got to change, or there'll be some news story to ponder. Anything else you'd like to share with our audience, Nick? You're certainly not one to shy away from interesting anecdotes and other stories that our listeners will find intriguing.
I wonder what the weather was like. I've got a daughter who's in, where is she today? She was in Boston yesterday, and she's in Florida today. And she said she had terrible storms.
Yeah, it's been dry and hot the last couple of days. We had severe rain in Marion last week, even some flooding. That's thankfully been taken care of, but it was about 90 Fahrenheit yesterday. There's a chance of a thunderstorm today, but again, high temperature about 10 degrees higher than it's supposed to be. That's about, I guess, about 32, 33 Celsius. Being a person with a scientific background, I do speak Fahrenheit, Celsius, and even Kelvin. But, yeah, it's rather toasty here. Thankfully, the air conditioning is working okay. Didn't have to take my clothes off and scare anybody. It's comfortable in here. And, yeah, about probably 90 outside once the sun bakes during the afternoon. But that's summer, and we had a very mild winter, so I think we're paying for the mild winter. That's something I suspected all along.
We've gone backwards here. So we had a hot spell. We had a month of heat. We had a nice time for the hay festival, but it's all reverted, and it's a bit chilly, and we've got about 8 to 10 degrees C here, which is very un-June-like.
So it's 50 Fahrenheit there in Wales?
Yeah.
That's quite cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Actually, sounds kind of nice where it's Fahrenheit, probably 85 right now, but again, we'll be 90 or higher later. Is that typical that it's that's 10 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Fahrenheit in the middle of June? Is that typical?
No, it would normally be 10 degrees hotter than this.
So you are getting a taste of, I wouldn't say winter, but maybe early spring instead of late spring, but I guess that happens.
Yeah, we've got, because of where we're sat between sort of the other side of the ocean to you, we get chills that come across from Iceland and or Russia. They can come across, if a wind comes across that way, the jet stream, it can bring us either ice cold weather or very hot weather. So apparently next week we will have it coming up over Europe and France, and we're going to be super hot.
So Russia has an influence on you, just like it does here, but I guess a very different kind of influence.
Yeah, not a political one. No, I think it's got a political one as well, but we better not go into that at the moment.
Any new thoughts on the Donald? Since the last time we talked, Nick, you always have a few stories or opinions to share.
No, I'm just always surprised he's still there. Every time I tune in and talk to you, I'm waiting for you to say, well, there we go, Donald's left.
Apparently, with school out, his young son, Baron, and his lovely wife, Melania, have moved from the Trump Tower in New York City to the White House, and there hasn't been a male child, and this was interesting. I didn't realize this. We've had Amy Carter, Chelsea Clinton, and, of course, the Obama girls, and they've, of course, been female. There has not been a male child in the White House since John F. Kennedy Jr. I didn't realize. Did you realize that, Nick? I did. Until I saw that on the news, it was interesting, but it's true. So always been female since John F. Kennedy Jr. 55 years ago.
Now you say it, I sort of start thinking, oh, Chelsea and all of those girls. Yeah, but no, I hadn't thought about it. No, very, very true.
Yeah, it's one of those things you didn't realize till it kind of hits you. Well, I guess it's time. It is time to have a male child in the White House. And just an interesting sidelight. Anything else to share with our audience today, Nick?
No. When I get off air, I'm going to be unpacking my new Anker speaker. I went to a customer's house, and he'd got... are you familiar with Bose? B-O-S-E?
Oh, yes. They're expensive speaker. They're smaller, but they have very big sound. They're, yeah, very, very nice.
Yeah, well, he had one of those, which was a sort of rechargeable Bluetooth speaker, and I coveted it, and I was just about to order one, and then I found one which, this one has 24-hour battery in it. You can play it flat out 24 hours. It's got all of the bass and everything, so I'm going to test that out this afternoon.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Of course, it's already afternoon there. I guess you mean later in the afternoon.
Yep, nearly 4 o'clock.
Okay, well, you have a five-hour difference between here and Eastern Wales. Well, thank you, Nick, for taking time out. I know you have a very busy day today. A lot of customers. We appreciate your being part of the show, as always.
Thank you for having me. And, it's a pleasure.
No problem. We'll talk to you again, hopefully, next week on the next episode of Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And again, once weekly. A once weekly temporary and new show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and of course broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at our website, WWGH1071.com. Still time to chime in. Would love to hear from you. Telephone number in the studio, 740-383-9944. Do you want a doll that looks, moves, and feels almost exactly like a newborn baby? Or maybe a baby avatar or a half-human, half-piglet? The whole range was on display at a trade fair in northern Spain, showcasing reborn babies made by Spanish company Babyclon, one of a small number of companies worldwide that cater to a particular subculture of collectors who value the doll's unsettling realism. Some of these basic silicone dolls cost almost $670, while high-end models equipped with motors that make the doll appear to breathe or suck on a pacifier cost almost $6,000. As well as human babies, the ones that look like the blue aliens from the film Avatar, the company makes baby chimpanzees, tiny mermaids, and infants with elf-style pointed ears. So if you don't want to have a real baby, you can have a virtual baby if you can fork over between $670 and $6,000. And that's from the interesting news department. And we discuss that stuff here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, which is broadcast, at least for the time being, between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 a.m. each and every Tuesday, which, of course, means it's being broadcast right now, on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and, of course, broadcasting online by the power and magic of the Internet at our website, WWGH1071.com. If you're a baseball fan like I am, this story might be intriguing. Last Thursday, in the second inning of a game between the Milwaukee Brewers and the San Francisco Giants, a naked from the waist down person, a male, ran onto the field from the third base stands. And security, though, took care of him. So, you never know what might happen. If you go to a baseball game, you might see something which you were not expecting. In this case, a person who, I guess, felt it was too warm in the stadium, and he removed some of his clothing. But thankfully, security took care of that. Adam Lepp here, getting ready to close out another episode of Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, where we talk about quirky news, interesting stories, sometimes controversial topics, and like we did earlier today, had a little discussion with my brother in broadcasting of sorts, Nick C.J. from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. Thank you very much for listening. It's much appreciated. I'm back this Thursday between approximately 9:13 a.m. and 10 with the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, where we talk about information technology, smartphones that aren't quite so smart, and a few other things. Of course, we always take your telephone calls live in the studio at 740-383-9944. Coming up at 11 o'clock, news and features, obituaries, messages from our valued sponsors, underwriters, and supporters, show teasers, and much more. Then it's Linda Sims, so be sure to keep listening. Thank you for listening. I am Adam Lepp.